Douglas is one of many who found a new life through Seattle's Union Gospel Mission.
I was living on the streets when I heard this guy talk about how he got clean and sober at the mission. So I decided to give it a try. I could feel something working inside of me, and I knew I was getting better. Today, my number one goal is to stay clean and sober.
And grace will lead me home.
To hear more, volunteer, or donate, visit ugm.org.
We're outside the Travel Agency, a cannabis store that's got everyone buzzing.
When I walked in, I felt like I was in the elite of the skies, like I'm about to get elevated and lifted in the best way. Got the important essential things. I need sleep, so tinctures, salves to relax my body, right? The best New York flowers.
Come down to the Travel Agency and see for yourself. For use only by adults age 21 and older. Keep out of reach of children and pets. In case of accidental ingestion or overconsumption, contact the National Poison Control Center. Consume responsibly.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you're listening to the WWE Podcast.
The champ is
the one that everybody wants, me.
Austin 316 says I just ripped your ass. This is my iron.
You're going to acknowledge me.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast Mailbag. It's Wednesday, December 7th, 2022. This is the time for you guys to ask questions, for me to answer them the best I can. And we are going to start off right away tonight. We're going to start off with patron Alexis. So, Alexis Dunham. You guys heard her first here when she attended Monday Night Raw right here in upstate New York, and she's now on the mailbag for the first time, so here's what she says. Hello, everyone. It's Alexis Dunham here with my first mailbag submission. I think it's funny. I was on an episode with you before I was in the mailbag, but hey, here I am. Thank you again for having me on the Raw review. I'm still so excited. I just can't thank you enough. I'd love to come back someday. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I had a fun time too. I was really excited to have you on too, not just because it's great to hear have a female voice on, which it always is, and that the fact that you attended Raw in person, which is always good, but also that, you know, you actually have a passion for wrestling and that you are well spoken. So definitely a great combination there of all those things. So yeah, we can set something up. We'll you know, you have my email obviously. So all right. Anyways, I've had a question I've been meaning to ask you. How did you get Drew McIntyre to say you're listening to the WWE podcast in your intro? I just think it's the coolest thing. I've been so curious. So I'd love to be able to say that he just reached out and he said, I love your show. I want to just create a, you know, an intro for you. That'd be the fun thing to say. That'd be the thing to say if I was actually a big time podcast, right? But in reality, I used a little app called Cameo, and part of my request to him in the Cameo was to say that. And I just spliced that part of it. The other part was shout outs to my co-hosts who were with me at the time. Just as a thank you, I wanted Drew McIntyre to be able to shout out their names. And while he was there, I just, you know, I asked him to say that knowing that I'd be able to use that forever. So that's how it happened. It wasn't just like him and I are, you know, best buds and he calls me and he's like, hey, I'd love to do this for you. You know, that would be the cool thing. That's unfortunately not what happened. So that's how it happened. Cameo. And like I've said, okay, back to your email here. I agree with a lot of your thoughts and opinion, which is why I love the show so much. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on the current state of the women's division. Like, who is your favorite right now, etc., since women's wrestling is my specialty. Hope this wasn't too long. Stay Usy, y'all. No, definitely not too long. Just wait till you hear the emails coming up. So certainly yours is brief and to the point. So the current state of the women's division, as far as my favorite, let me just answer that off the bat right now. Who's my favorite? I mean, Bianca Belair. Not just because she's the Raw Women's Champion. You know, that to me is irrelevant, at least in the terms of this question. I think she's doing a great job as women's champion. A better run than her first go around after she beat Sasha Banks at the previous WrestleMania. But she's the total package. And she's reached a level of athleticism and strength in the women's division that we haven't ever seen. I would put I would put Bianca Belair up against any woman WWE has ever produced ever. And put them side by side with Bianca, and you tell me that person is a better in-ring performer than Bianca Belair. You can't. You know, like, she's a total package. She's excellent in the ring. She's had so many good matches, I don't even know if she's had a bad one. You know, even those matches with Carmella, when, like, Carmella was getting, like, opportunity after opportunity, it felt like every week, this was a few years ago. And you know, she was having good matches with Carmella, and that's not an easy thing to do. Look, I don't mean to be speaking negatively of Carmella right now. She and Corey Graves have gone through some really rough stuff lately with miscarriage, and you know, that's, I'm putting that aside. Okay, so I'm not trying to be insensitive to their situation, which, you know, she made public. I didn't do any digging of dirt. It's just, you know. It's a tough situation. But the fact is, Carmella is not exactly your quintessential, you know, A-plus in-ring wrestler for women. So anyway, back to Bianca Belair. She's the total package from the look. Her promos are probably the place where she can improve a little bit. She's not stellar. She comes across a little arrogant sometimes. But they get the job done. Her promos get the job done. There's always room for improvement there. But Bianca Belair is just she's something special. No question about it. So right now, Bianca Belair, as far as the current state of the women's division in general, I'm imagining you're talking about both Raw and SmackDown. Ronda Rousey is a big energy suck, I have to say. You know, she is just like this black hole of like just absorbing everyone's energy around her and also spitting nothing back out. Like, whatever goes into her doesn't come back out. I know that sounded very suggestive, but if you imagine a black hole, okay, a black hole, we're talking about space. I'm not trying to be, you know, risque here, okay? Space, black holes suck everything in, but they don't produce anything. That's kind of what Ronda Rousey feels like right now. Ronda Rousey is bad on the microphone, generally. She's had some okay promos, but most of the time, they're cringeworthy. She does the side smile that is just obnoxious to me. I feel like she is trying to rebrand a championship that she has no business touching. She doesn't like the word women's in the women's championship. It's just ridiculous. Because to me, if they were going to put the men's name in the men's championships, I'm all about it. If she's trying to just get rid of the women's name because she feels it's sexist or something, like it's some kind of misogynistic, you know, master plan, like, no, that's just been the way you've named women's championships forever, because you are in a man's sport traditionally. Traditionally, it has been forever. Up until the last 10 years, it has been a man's sport, and the women are just sex objects. And the women came along, and really the fans demanded it, and WWE decided to go with it. And you'd always wonder what happened if WWE didn't ever hear from the fans, if the fans were just complacent in the way the women were being portrayed. You know, you wonder if WWE would have ever done anything. But anyway, my point is, I think the women's division is in need of star power. Again, Ronda Rousey is I have nothing really good to say about her other than, okay, she's a household name, but that's all she's got going for her. Pretty much it. So outside of that, you know, you've got some up and coming, like bringing back Io Sky and Dakota Kai was a good thing. They're getting more airtime than probably anyone would have imagined. Associating themselves with Bayley is a good thing. But it's missing. Oh, you also got Mia Yim. Okay. Mi Chin. You got her associating herself with the OC for the time being. I think that's a very short-term alliance. Rhea Ripley has really been the breakout star of the last 6 months for the women. I'm really excited to see what she does. Alexa Bliss possibly realigning herself with The Fiend. I am right now, and I have continued to be down on that. However, there is something to be said for the crowd reaction she's getting right now, which is like next to nothing. The crowd doesn't know what to do with her. So I'm sure that, you know, while I don't want to see her going back to sitting on, you know, playgrounds and swings, I got to say that might be better at this point than just getting no promo time, being shoved into random tag team matches, not having a voice, and getting little to no reaction from fans because they don't know what to do with her character right now. So maybe that is a good thing for her. But outside of that, you know, star power is always key, right? So you have Charlotte probably coming back. I would imagine she's an entrant in the Royal Rumble, the Women's Royal Rumble, on top of the fact that they're probably going to have to fill the Women's Royal Rumble with at least 10 to 12, yesteryear stars. And that's always the most embarrassing thing for the Women's Royal Rumble. Is they want to be on equal footing with the men. And sometimes they, you know, I don't want to say all the time. There's been times when it's been well-deserved. The WrestleMania main event for WrestleMania 35, well-deserved. You know, the main event for Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks, well-deserved. And probably the match of the entire pay-per-view. But there are times when the WWE feels like they're just kind of force-feeding the equality movement or whatever between men and women. And women are just getting stuff that the men are so that they can say they're on equal footing. The Women's Royal Rumble should not exist until there are enough women currently on the roster to fill it.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Because how many times in the last few years since they implemented the Women's Royal Rumble have you seen Molly Holly and Trish Stratus, Stacy Keibler, or whoever, right? And it's fun in the moment to see them, but it's also kind of sad and very telling about the depth of the women's division as a whole in the company that they can't find 30 active women on their roster to fill a Royal Rumble match, that they have to dig in years gone by, in years past, to dig out these women who are capable at least of taking a few bumps and going over the top rope. So, you know, we'll probably see those likes of the Molly Hollies again. And, you know, maybe, from yesteryear, the Terry Runnels. I mean, who the hell knows? But, you know, that's really, to me, when I look at it every year about the depth of the women's division, I look at how many women that come out in the Rumble that are not active on the roster currently. Now, they do that for the men. Men have, like, Diesel come out. Like, they always have those kind of one or two nostalgic picks. But it's done out of option, right? The WWE does that out of the option to do that. They have the option to do that. With the Women's Royal Rumble, it's a necessity. They have to fill it with people from yesteryear, or they don't have a 30-woman Royal Rumble. They have like a 20-woman Royal Rumble. So, okay, long answer short. I think it's doing okay. Again, Ronda Rousey, I think she'll hold on to the belt until Becky Lynch takes it from her at WrestleMania, and then hopefully we can all say, you know, a small prayer to whatever god or gods or whatever you believe in, that we have Ronda Rousey drop it to Becky and she just goes off into the abyss and never comes back. Never. I don't want to see Ronda Rousey. I don't. So I know a lot of love for Ronda out there. I'm not one of them. I've very rarely been on that side, other than when she first came in and was running roughshod, being Ronda Rousey. Like, she was being the UFC bust ass in your face, did a great job in the tag match with Kurt Angle against Triple H and Stephanie at WrestleMania. Picked up the business quickly. You know, it was just roughhousing everybody, and it was fun to watch. But, you know, especially since this last run, it's just old. They took too long to turn her heel. Anyway, I could be dead ass wrong, but I feel pretty strongly about this. All right. Thanks, Alexis. That was a long answer to a short email. All right. Let's get to our next. Hold on. I want to make sure I do this right. I know I've got many more emails from patrons, so let's actually continue on that. Let's go to Miller. And he says, how's it, Matt? And WWE Podcast, Miller here from beautiful South Africa. Hope everyone is doing well. I just want to make a last comment about Survivor Series and War Games. I agree it must be elimination format. And in the advantage thing is stupid if the War Games only starts when all 10 competitors are active in the cage. To make the advantage mean even more and make Survivor Series scenario more apparent, I think elimination should be possible from the start with the first two competitors. And the winner until the last member of a team is eliminated. I can leave opportunities and build ups such as 2 versus 3 and then a team with 3 members pinning a member with the opposing team's member trying to make the save and fail or realize he or she is alone against 3 others until one of his other teammates can be released from the cage. Or even make it interesting and say first team who has no members left in the ring loses, meaning that a last member will have to show an amazing resiliency and courage to stay alive for his team. I've been missing watching wrestling regularly lately, but will soon finally have TV again and access to keep up to date with everything that's happening. I haven't watched a single show since Triple H has been in charge. It's crazy. So thanks to all the hosts for keeping me up to date. Have an awesome day. Thank you, Miller. And yeah, you've got a lot to catch up on. Get that TV, brother. Get yourself back in the game, because, pun intended, I guess, there's a lot to catch up on with Triple H and what he's done so far and the returns that he's brought back and, you know, just his overall strategy for wrestling. While it hasn't been perfect, it's still a breath of fresh air. So, but overall, look, I'm not trying to get into this rant again, because I feel like I went on an extensive one about the elimination, lack of elimination in the War Games match, but it just so apparent that needs to happen, because it is, you're looking for about 80% of the match, you're watching stuff that doesn't matter. It's senseless brawling with no consequences. You can't do anything to have anyone get eliminated outside of, didn't they say if someone leaves the cage that they're automatically eliminated? I like that. Maybe they should implement that in just regular cage matches, to be honest. Like, if you leave the cage, you lose. They won't, but, I think that it's absolutely right. Like, you could create so many interesting scenarios. Absolutely. And then the advantage, as you said, that they fought for on SmackDown and Raw would mean something outside of just, oh, okay, yeah, well, we get an advantage, but it doesn't matter because the match doesn't start until everyone's in the ring anyway. I mean, again, take a look at the men's match that happened this year. All 5 competitors on both teams were ready to go, standing there uninjured when the bell rang. which means the advantage meant jack, you know what? Okay. It's so, yeah, I feel very strongly about this. I know that the idea is, well, isn't that awesome that you just, it's almost like you get to see free fighting, free wrestling. And then the match doesn't even start till 10 people get in the ring. Oh my God. It's like we get two matches in one. No, because after then the newness wears off and like for most people, it's their first War Games match that they've seen. You just take 2 seconds and go, well, why isn't this elimination? It's Survivor Series, which is elimination heavy, and I like the elimination tradition that happens at Survivor Series, and they take away a stipulation that could really add to the match. Someone needs to explain to me why elimination is a bad idea in War Games. Tell me. Okay, you have the elimination chamber. Okay, I understand that. Different structure. But just, I don't know. I don't get it. I don't think they'll ever change it. Because they'll somebody say, well, we have the chamber, the elimination chamber. That's apples and oranges to me. Okay? Apples and oranges. Yeah. Nearly half the competitors. It's a different structure. A championship is usually on the line. I don't know. All right. Thanks, Miller. All right, let's get to, let's see, Charlie from Milwaukee. And he says, hey, everyone, it's Charlie from Milwaukee. I'm going to be in Raw on Monday. Would love to do a Raw review. I'm also going to SmackDown that Friday and would love to do a SmackDown review as well. That's all for me today. As always, watch out for deer on your ride home and stay oozy, my friends. Here's the thing. I can't promise a SmackDown review because we have a SmackDown team that does that. And, you know, you could reach out to them and, you know, definitely see if they want you on, that's their business. Maybe they have an agenda already set for the show for SmackDown. All right. So reach out on Twitter, reach out to Michael5Ritter at Michael5Ritter. See if they, you know, can get and squeeze you on if you're interested. Again, it's while this is my network, it's not my show. I don't tell the co-hosts how to do their shows at all. I leave that up to them. So reach out. As far as the Raw review goes, I mean, yeah, let's, you know, if you're attending, let's squeeze you on, buddy. Yeah, well, let's talk. I'll shoot you a message on Patreon. It's always great to hear in-person perspective from, the shows, especially when it's a televised event. Things that us at home, the millions at home, don't get to see. Always fun. All right. Thanks, Charlie. I look forward to talking with you. Let's get to a few more emails. I know very kind of definitely more emails than phone calls tonight, guys. So looking at my other email account, let's talk with Rocky T. He's checking in once again. And he says, in case y'all haven't picked it up by now, that's my catchphrase. Yes, it is. Rocky T checking in once again. That's your catchphrase. So last week, I didn't get my email in on time, even though I said I would in my voicemail that I would. So thanks, Matt, for double checking that. So if the Money in the Bank PLE goes away, that means two Money in the Bank matches at WrestleMania. I guess that works since WrestleMania is two nights. But if it wasn't, then we would want would we, the fans, want two Money in the Bank matches in one night at WrestleMania? I say yes. What do you think? Oh, that's an easy yes. Easy. I wouldn't even think twice. Why? So many reasons. Number one, it gets rid of a gimmicky pay-per-view. But let me just be straight for the record. They probably won't do this because they love their gimmick pay-per-views. I know Triple H is getting rid of Hell in a Cell, and that's the first one I would have got rid of too. But you really can build an entire show around Money in the Bank, an entire PLE. But in my perfect fantasy world, yes, they could do two in one WrestleMania for so many reasons. Ready? Number one, it's a six-hour show. If you're telling me they can't fit two of the same match types in a six-hour show, we see them do it in the Elimination Chamber. We've seen them do it at the Rumble for the Men's and Women's Royal Rumble. We see them do it, what's another one? Ladder matches. Money in the Bank ladder matches, they do it at Money in the Bank itself. You know, so anytime there's a men's and women's equivalent match, they do it on the same show.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we all don't complain about it. They separated as far as they can on the show, as they should. They shouldn't do this. Okay, let me just be for the record here. They also shouldn't do this match back to back. Like, they should not do a men's Money in the Bank and then a women's immediately following. Of course not. They should spread it out. But so that's number one. Definitely enough time. People will be interested. And the fact that they want to be able to create that unpredictability with fans. Because they could say, oh, man, so-and-so's got that briefcase. They could cash in on the women's champion or the men's championship, the U.S. title or the Undisputed Championship. They want to be able to create that thought in the back of your mind. Or maybe they'll cash in tomorrow night on Raw. You know, the fact is that how many Money in the Bank briefcase holders have won it in May or June or July, whenever the pay-per-view is now, and then carried it all the way to WrestleMania? Very few. Very few. Seth Rollins, maybe one of the few that have carried it all the way to WrestleMania. So you at least have the Money in the Bank briefcase now a part of WrestleMania and hanging over as a possibility of unpredictable scenarios. So there's just two reasons to have it in one night. Okay? It's a great format. And number three, you would rather have these men and women in a match like this. So there's six people per match, right? You would rather have these six individuals in this match than in what? The Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal or some silly Battle Royal on the pre-show that means nothing? Yeah. Even if you have four or five competitors in there that you know have no chance, say three or four, actually, because usually the one or two that you're like, yeah, one of them could win. So you see even four of them that you're just like, yeah, they're kind of throwaway. Would you rather have them in a singles match like this where it's just kind of chaos and it's fun and there's, you know, a lot of dangerous spots? Or would you rather have them in a senseless battle royal? You know? Now, again, it's not mutually exclusive. They'll probably still do both, but okay, moving on. Now on to the topic you and Anthony talked about of whether The Rock should enter the Rumble and win. As I've mentioned, I will be at the Rumble. Yeah, and you've mentioned you have my sign. I feel like I should pay you for that sign. So you're saying you would really love to hear The Rock's music hit, the roof blow off the place, but I don't want him to win the Rumble. It's been there, done that type of deal. Last time I was in attendance to see The Rock live was WrestleMania 17 in the Astrodome, and this is probably going to be his last opportunity. I have to see him live if he shows up at the Rumble. Here's the thing, though, too. You and I are in lockstep. I thought you were going to oppose me on that The Rock should not win the Rumble, nor should he enter and lose. The Rock is not in a state of his career where he should be entering Royal Rumbles to win them. I don't believe. It's a storyline with Roman that supersedes even the Rumble. It's above the Royal Rumble. That's how easily The Rock could just walk in. And he has the right to do this. It's his family. And with Roman Reigns claiming he's the head of the table, does The Rock not have anything to say about that? It's a personal issue. It's not about championships. Although they'll probably make it about it. But I understand, look, anytime you go to a live event, anytime,
your hope is that, you know, you could have, you know, Stone Cold and The Rock and Hogan, and, you know, there's like an NWO reunion, and like you want like the best possible show selfishly when you're at these live events. And I'm not saying you're selfish. I'm saying that's just what you want. And it's not just for wrestling. You want that when you go to a concert or wherever. You want the best songs. You want the greatest hits. That's just the nature of spending your money on something that you expect to be the best possible product. And I totally get what you're saying. I would feel the same way. If I was going to the Rumble, I would love to have The Rock come out because you know it's going to blow the roof off. You know it's going to be a moment. People are going to go nuts. But for the people at home and after the event, when the adrenaline wears off, you're going to go, was that really the right choice, though? You know, long term, is this the right way to go about it, to have The Rock enter and win? No, I don't think. You don't either. But maybe he could still appear at the Rumble, but not be in the Rumble. You know, who the hell knows what Roman Reigns is doing at WrestleMania or at Rumble? I mean, we don't know. The tentative rumor mill that the plan is right now for having Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns for the title at the Rumble. And if that's the case, then, you know, the Rock could come out after Roman Reigns defeats Kevin Owens. And then the roof blows off the place. And then they've got 2 months to build the Rock-Roman deal. And I would agree 2 months is enough. You know, because look, I'm looking at the calendar here. January 28th is the Rumble. Say The Rock returns after he beats Kevin Owens and place goes crazy. And then he stares down Roman and maybe he gives him a rock bottom and then we're off to the races. That gives us really almost 9 weeks. That's two months and change to promote Rock and Roman. That's certainly enough, you know? But to me, if they don't do it, I will be very discouraged if, after the Rumble's over, if Roman Reigns is the one holding the championships up and the show is going off the air and it's just Roman with the fireworks going off and Paul Heyman looking up at him and, you know, the Usos, everyone's standing tall. It's the same thing we've seen literally for years now to end a pay-per-view. And there's no, if you smell, no, I at that point, I'll be very discouraged that The Rock is actually not going to appear at WrestleMania. This, to me, is do or die time at the Rumble. It's do or die time. That's not absolute. I'm not God. I'm not in any way associated with WWE. I have no idea what they're talking about from a creative perspective on a week-to-week basis. It's possible The Rock comes back at, you know, the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view or, some, you know, 4 weeks before Mania. I would hope not. You'd want to promote the hell out of this. Why would you not want to squeeze every last ounce of promotion and marketing out of Rock Roman and wait till 3 weeks before WrestleMania or something silly? So to me, that's why Royal Rumble is do or die. If you want Rock Roman and you don't hear The Rock's music hit at the Rumble, very good chance that it's not happening and it's going to be maybe Bray Wyatt versus Roman at WrestleMania. So, all right. Boy, I'm giving long answers. Sorry, guys. Okay, let's continue on. You got a little bit more here. I like the idea that was brought up by Anthony, or maybe it was you, about having somebody else win the Rumble and challenge for the WWE title, and then having The Rock challenge for the Universal title, thus having Roman defend both titles at Mania separately. We all know The Rock is a big enough of a megastar to just walk to the ring and make a challenge and insert himself into the title picture, but if the fans want to see him earn a title shot without winning the Rumble, then I would have him enter the Elimination Chamber match where he has never won instead of the Rumble, and that could add something to his legacy. Rocky T over and out. He could, but you also have to remember, too, that The Rock, is it really worth the risk of him getting an injury in that match? Like, a match like that adds additional risk. Now they've padded things and they've made it as safe as they can. As Anthony DeMarco once put it, they baby-proofed it to some degree. But there's still a higher risk of injury in that match. Do you really want The Rock in that match? Well, it's not likely. You're putting him in the scenario that he could get injured. And then there goes your WrestleMania match. So, I wouldn't put him in the chamber match. But I understand everyone wants to split the belts. And I do too. I just don't know how they get there. Like, the Royal Rumble winner, if the belts are unified, what are they going to say? How does this get ununified? I mean, I've been very vocal about this. I don't care how it happens. but I'm curious as to how they get there. I wouldn't mind that, but I just still don't want The Rock challenging for a title. He has no business challenging for the title, and the story isn't about the belt. The story is about Roman Rock, head of the table. But the belt's going to be involved. It just will be. All right. Thank you, Rocky T. Let's continue on here to, let's see here. DJ, I do see you. Don't worry. I'm getting to you at the very end here. And these are all patron emails, by the way. I have not touched a non-patron email yet. So if you're wondering, like, hey, wait a minute, patrons get priority service. Yeah, they do. I haven't touched a non-patron yet. So here we go. This is from Bad Fish. Yes, Bad Fish. I got it right. Well, good. Okay, I have a theory about the bloodline. Notice how Solo never puts the ones up. It looks like he's just a super tough dude, but maybe he has other motives. Didn't the wise man say that Solo was sent by the elders? What if The Rock is an elder, and that's how The Rock gets involved? Food for thought. By the way, is that Kuzmo a real DJ? Because I make music. Anyway, till next time. Yes, he is a real DJ. Yes, he is. Promise you. It's not just a gimmick name. He is DJ Kuzmo. All right. So let's clear that up. But I like that. I never thought about that. I never really watched Solo Sikoa put the one in the air or not put the one in the air. He's just kind of like there. He's never the one you're looking at because he's so stoic. You're always looking at Sami Zayn or Jey Uso's reaction to what Sami's saying. Is he enjoying it? Is he not? Is he going to turn? Is he not? You know, you're watching the intricacies of their body language. You're never really focused on Solo Sikoa unless you're forced to by the cameraman. It's like a, you know, a pun intended, solo shot. So I will now be paying attention to if Solo Sikoa is putting the ones in the air. And if he's not, your theory may hold some water. That the wise man did say the elders sent him. But is The Rock considered an elder? I guess by some standards, he might be. But then again, even if he is considered an elder, the problem I have with this is The Rock is not, his wrestling character anyway, is not one to send someone to do his work for him. Also, why would The Rock, as an elder, let's play this story out, send someone to support Roman when he's going to be challenging Roman for his belt at WrestleMania? I get it. Good thinking. Never thought of that. And you know, if you're right, that's a really creative mind you got, because I never thought of that. I just don't think, given the reasons I did, that it's The Rock. Good thought, though. I like that. I like when you make people give me that food for thought. I get to chew on that food. All right, now we get to Mr. DJ Kuzmo. He's back at it again on our mailbag with a mini email of sorts. See, you always say that, DJ, and then like by the end of the email, you're like, sorry for the long email. So let's see if this holds true. So he says, first and foremost, why is Matt Riddle given another tag team title opportunity in another tag team? Anyway, Matt Riddle needs to go away from TV for a while, probably till Rumble. Well, you're absolutely right. Riddle needs to get the hell off my TV. He was great with Randy and then just fell apart for the most part. I mean, he had some great matches and moments, but generally his trend was down and he felt lost in her, you know, injecting himself in situations that he had no business being in, annoying fans when it was supposed to be, he was supposed to get cheered. He was obnoxious for a while. His endearingness wore off, you know, that kind of, lovable guy faded away quickly and he just became annoying again. And I totally agree. Now there's two benefits to this happening on Raw with Solo Sikoa taking him out. Number one, it gets him off our TV, right? Like, mission accomplished. He should stay out. I don't want to see him from the hospital. I don't want to see him in a neck brace next week's cutting a promo on Solo. I hope they just completely write him off until, you know, a week before the Rumble or at the Rumble. Then he comes back or something. So that's good. Time apart is going to do wonders for him and for the fans to learn to miss him. That's number one. We need a break. Number two, Randy Orton. Now, what we saw on Raw was Solo Sikoa take him out. and then having the story begin where you could say that's the same thing he did to Randy. Now, not the same way, but the same group took out Riddle and took out Randy. And once Riddle comes back, maybe he starts to get beat down, or he says at the top of the, you know, at the end of the ramp, you know, I didn't come alone. And then, you know, Randy Orton's music hits. They take out the Bloodline. Maybe they do this right before the Rumble and they have a tag team title match. And that's where Randy turns on Riddle and we're off to the races with Riddle versus Randy at Mania. Boy, I just booked something there. Just a thought. But I think it's leading to Randy Orton's return. And it also is great because it gives us time to learn to just miss him because he needs to get off. I agree. Okay, moving on. Secondly, again, with the start and stop of Lacey Evans' creative development as a heel or a face, whatever she is, whoever she is, creative needs to stick with her gimmick so that she can get some sort of traction and TV time. Because this start and stop heel or face change is giving me a headache. I agree. I don't know what this is. Like, we all know she was a former Marine. Okay. Like, we knew that. So this isn't a revelation. It's not new information. We knew she had this background and she leaned into it a little bit when she did this kind of sympathetic pity me. You know, look at how awful my childhood was. No one was there when I graduated type of character. And you felt bad for her until it just was every week. They were just being exploitative about it. And it just became like, eh. And then she turned on us and all this. It was weird. So now they're just going back to her roots, or as they said, back to basics, whatever, with Lacey Evans. So I don't know. Is she going to come out in like full military gear? I don't know what they're doing with Lacey Evans either. But right now it's back to basics, whatever the hell that means. All right. Thirdly, I'm going to talk about Solo Sikoa's discussion, whether or not he was sent to infiltrate the Bloodline. To me, I don't think Solo was sent by anybody. To me, Solo is doing a great job living up to his character as the enforcer. Hence the reason why he is serious and doesn't play in with the Let's Be Usy shenanigans with Sammy and the Usos. Anyway, to make a long story short, Solo Sikoa is the glue to the Bloodline when Roman is not there. Because without him, this group could have easily been divided because of Sami Zayn, but that's another story for another day. Yeah, so another theory here. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, he was sent by the elders. That's what Paul Heyman said upon his introduction, so I guess we have to go with that. But yeah, he plays such a nice role. I really hope it's not for him to turn on the Bloodline and infiltrate, because he's such a good heel. He's got a great heel look. I don't want them to turn him at all. He's in a great spot right now. There's no need to touch it. It's not broken. Don't try to fix it. He's just that stoic. He adds a different element, a different layer of personality to that group, where everyone else is flamboyant, or at least Sammy and Jimmy and Jay now are. That since the dynamic of Jay and Sammy has quieted, although there's still that seed of doubt, if you noticed, that was planted on Raw. But right now they're all kind of oozy and they're all this and that. And Roman is the big oos. And then we've got Solo Sikoa, who's the enforcer, the stoic kind of bodyguard look to him. And I love that. So like, I wouldn't change him. Yeah, I would not. He's a great addition. He's fit perfectly into that group. Finally, one more thing. I've been watching a couple of old school wrestling matches before WWF became WWE. Anyway, a match suggestion is Bret the Hitman Hart versus the 1-2-3 Kid, Monday Night Raw 1994 for the WWF Championship. I've watched that match from start to finish about 3 times, and it's a great watch of ring psychology, pacing throughout the match. The CM Punk Darby Allin match, singles match in AEW All Out last year, plays on almost the same moveset and pacing from the Hart 1-2-3 WWF Championship match. DJ Kuzmo signing off. Peace. We'll get to your voicemail in a minute, DJ. Yeah, I would agree. I don't recall that match from start to finish because it's been so long since I've seen it, even highlights of it. I have flashes of it in my mind, but you can't go wrong with any Bret Hart match. Like, I don't think people were really remember or pay enough homage to how good Bret Hart was. And nothing against the 1-2-3 Kid, but look, Bret Hart was a wrestler's wrestler. You talk about a technician, a guy that just looked at this sport with the utmost respect, brought legitimacy to it, went all in, had great match after great match, And you know what he did? He didn't flip-flop and fly for 450 splashes for five-star matches. You know, different era, different time. But it's funny how the definition of a five-star match evolves as we move on in time. But he was just the epitome of what a professional wrestler is. He was it. He didn't do too much of the entertainment-y, gimmicky stuff. He was who he was. He was a Canadian. He made the sharpshooter famous, of course. Really good promo. Believable guy. Hart Foundation's legendary. You know, so much. There really is not enough remembrance of Bret Hart. And really his contributions to the business. I know a lot of people that, especially if you're a recent fan, really over the last 5 years, you're a recent fan, or even 5, 6, 7, 8 years, you've probably only heard of the Montreal Screwjob, and that's what you associated with Bret Hart. And that may be the only thing you know about what Bret Hart is. And that's unfortunate, because Bret Hart was so much more than the Montreal Screwjob. But that whole topic's been dissected and grinded into a fine powder, so we won't go there. But yeah, good suggestions. Love it. All right. Couple more email. Oh, wait, maybe one more email, two more emails, and then we'll get to the voicemails. So here we go. We're going to talk to Jackson from Melbourne, Australia. He says, few things I want to say. First, I don't see WWE doing this or a majority of WWE fans liking this, but I feel like WWE could do with a third brand, excluding NXT being a third brand, and a proper brand split. There's a lot of WWE talent that goes to waste, and I feel like they could be used better, but there's just not enough room for them. I like that scenario, but here's the problem, Jackson. They can't commit to a brand split ever when there's two brands. When there were just two, take out NXT. Before NXT even existed, they couldn't even, you know, for 2 weeks adhere to their own brand split rules, and then it just becomes a muddled mess, and everyone's on everyone's roster, and no one cares anymore. So that's the problem. The problem is they don't have discipline. That's the problem. They don't have enough discipline to discipline themselves to not break their own rules. So I don't see that happening. Secondly, prediction for the Rumble and Bloodline. I can see Sami Uso winning the Rumble and saying he will just sit down for Roman and take the pinfall at WrestleMania for Roman to just get the weekend off, with the payout being Sami was playing the Bloodline the whole time and Kevin Owens was in on it, or tensions rising within the Bloodline against Sammy and him being exiled from the group. Either way it happens, if Sammy wins the Rumble, I see him taking the WWE Championship at WrestleMania, but not the Universal, whichever way it happens. So there seems to be a consensus growing that Roman's going to defend the championships separately. And I'm fine with that, because Roman should drop one of them to Raw, and I would agree it's the WWE. But Sami Zayn, you know, I've heard that name floating around there, and he's the one to beat Roman. The thing is, I like that right now. But are we just being short-term fans? Meaning, like, rather hot hands. Like, we're looking at what's hot right now. You know, in a few months, is Sami Zayn still going to be as hot as he is right now? Who's to say? But Sami Zayn should be in the discussion for this, certainly. Yes. I don't hate that. All right. Third, I'd like to see the Undisputed Tag Team Championship unified. Unified. Got it. But only if what I propose happens. Much like with the Women's Revolution, a tag team revolution. There's an abundance of tag teams underutilized in NXT, and I think many of them, such as the Creed Brothers, despite needing some mic work but could easily have a manager stuck on them or returning Roderick Strong, are all ready for a call-up. Factions such as Legado del Fantasma are underutilized, in my opinion, and only having one tag team championship heavily affects factions such as that. Well, to be fair, Legado del Fantasma has been on SmackDown for a month. So we got to give them time to breathe. And to be honest, I love their look. I love their kind of cartel type of feel. I love it. And I think they're going to be big players. So, okay. A team such as Pretty Deadly or Briggs, Jason, and Henley could even be called up, as they have great mic skills and great in-ring. The NXT tag division will survive, as they have a lot of teams that don't get screen time despite being talented. Also, Zoe Stark is rumored for a call-up soon. I expect at the Rumble, and she is a talent. Amazing mic skills, great in-ring worker, and she just has the it factor on looks alone. I know you don't watch much NXT, but I suggest you get familiar with her. She should have a long and successful career in WWE. I probably should have said this along with the extra brand, as this would tie in with it, but I can't be changing it. Yeah, I can't use the F word. As always, I'm not super familiar, but I know the name Zoe Stark. Absolutely. And I know the face, but I'm not as familiar with her body of work as you are, so I will take you up on that suggestion. Lastly, in regards to the week in review, I have thought that, in my opinion, will improve the podcast, having someone that doesn't do the Raw review or SmackDown review host it. People such as Mr. and Mrs. Casual Wrestling. I think it will provide new and fresh opinions hearing from someone who didn't do the review shows, or even someone who is doing the Raw review, just my thoughts. Hey, that's true. I don't hate that idea. I'm always looking for ways to improve. Because for me, you guys kind of know what I'm going to like and dislike. When you see something on Raw, you're like, oh, yeah, Matt's going to hate that, right? Or he's going to love this. And generally, not all the time, but generally, you're probably right if you've listened to me for any length of time. So I agree, yeah, like having new voices. What I'm trying to do and bring back is having guests co-host with me. So if I'm the one hosting the show, at least you hear a competing voice. So that's what I'm trying to do and bring back. Just stick with me. I promise. I'm trying to do it. When my daughter was born last year, it became really difficult because her sleeping patterns were insane. So like I had done 2-hour shows before, and then I had to stop and just kind of record whenever the hell I could, you know? So, but don't worry. I'm definitely trying to bring in new voices. I hear you on that one. Okay, I'm currently watching Raw in the OC versus boring ass Corbin in the Alpha Academy. If anything else interesting happens, I might write in again, or if anything. Okay, so cheers. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate the effort of the email. All right. Do we have one more email? Let me take a look. I thought we had one more. I don't see it. I think that's it. So with that said, I think you guys know where we're about to go with this. That's right. Here comes Mr. DJ Kuzmo.
Hello, WWE Podcast World. This is DJ Kuzmo back at it again on your mailbag show. Record to live once again on a Wednesday morning. And before we get to the Veer Mahan report, I want to just shed some light on what happened last week on AEW Dynamite. And of course, it was the crowning achievement of my guy, Maxwell Jacob Freeman. But what we got to see last week, when he showcased his new AEW title belt, and of course his right-hand guy, his new right-hand guy, Mr. Sir William Regal, Mr. Lord Regal himself, Mr. Regal did not see what was going to come to him when none other than MJF absolutely double-crossed him and hit him from the back of his head. Oh my goodness, he says, from the bottom of my heart, and block to the back of his head, and down goes Regal. And everybody was like, huh? What? Huh? Guys, this is Maxwell Jacob Freeman at his finest. We all thought that he was going soft, turning babyface, and of course probably being the top babyface, but then he goes back, he digs back into his heel roots to be that damn good heel that he is, and just glocks our Mr. Lord Regal to the back of the head, and as he falls down flat, the crowd is stunned, and I was laughing so happily because this is MJF at his finest, our world champion, our AEW world champion, Maxwell Jacob Freeman. Now, before I get to the Veer Mahan report one more time, I also want to shed some light on AEW with the women's division. Now, we all know, we all like to talk about Rhea Ripley. We all like to talk about Bianca Belair and everybody that's doing great in the women's division in the WWE. But I gotta say, this is her year, and I'm giving her flowers today because I'm talking about none other than Jade Cargill. Jade Cargill is absolutely absolutely killing it right now in AEW. She is the face of the AEW women's division. No offense to Dr. Britt Baker, no offense to the current champion, Jamie Hayter, but since she has become the champion, since Jade Cargill has become the champion in Dynamite or in AEW from the beginning of this year, she has done a great job. Now, I know the competition has not been the best. She has, you know, she has pretty much squashed her competition, but rightfully so, she is the best right now in AEW in the women's division. She is carrying that division. Wherever she goes, she is the main attraction. Of course, we got Mandy Rose with the toxic attraction, but you could make the case to say that Jade Cargill, who looks like an absolute gladiator, who looks like an absolute, oh my goodness, like a modern-day China. Oh, we like to make the comparison with Rhea Ripley, but just take some note on Jade Cargill. She is that B, and I can't wait to when she carries that AEW women's title next year. Hopefully she drops it, or maybe she continues to hold on to that TBS championship. But other than that, I just want to give my flowers to Jade Cargill. She is absolutely crushing it right now. She is still undefeated. And like rightfully so, she is the face of the AEW Women's Division. Now, I know I just got on a tangent, and I know I'm past my 3 minutes, but now let's get to the Veer Mahan Report. Now, the Veer Mahan Report has been brought to you by my guys. I'm talking about the Football Function. They just celebrated 200 episodes. They're 200 episodes. Who does that? Who does 200 episodes in the podcast world? But other than that, I want to give a congratulations to Michael Ritter. Congratulations to Terry. Congratulations to Cousin Mike on a great job that they do every single week during the NFL football season with their preview show and their review show and all the other shows that they have on the platform. I'm talking about the Football Function. So if you guys are into your fantasy leagues for the NFL and we're drawing closer and closer to the playoffs, get your listen and your quick fix with none other than Michael Ritter and Terry with the Football Function. Now, I know I'm still going over my time, and I want to quickly get to the Veer Mahan Report. Now, the Veer Mahan Report took place last night at NXT, and we did get to see the initiator of my guy, Veer Mahan and Sangha. But before we got to that point, we did have what was supposed to be a match between Bryson Montana, a local talent, and a guy by the name of Javier. They were supposed to have the match. And as Bryson Montana was introduced, we did get the attack of Sangha. The attack of Sangha on Bryson Montana. And as that was taking place, we got to see none other than Javier. Javier coming down to the ring. He sees what's going on. It was like, wait a minute. I'm supposed to have a match with this guy, but why am I seeing the end of Sheer in the ring? Oh my goodness. But now, when we got to this point, Javier decided, you know what, I'm going to go to the back, and I'm not going to participate in being annihilated by the end of Sheer. Now, let's fast forward. We get an in-ring promo from Sangha. We get an in-ring promo from my guy, Veer Mahan, talking about, we will not fight you until you are 100%. Now, I love this. I love this because this is what storyline booking is all about. They haven't touched yet. They haven't had a match yet. But we're still getting to that point where we will get to see the end this year and my guy Veer Mahan and Sangha in a match against the Creed brothers. Now, we did get to see the Creed brothers. We did get to see Julius Creed and his brother coming to the ring, being held back by referees, not having them fight each other because Mr. Julius Creed is, quote unquote, not medically clear. Now, with that being said, I can't wait to see what happens next week on NXT with this continuation of the Creed brothers and my guy, Veer Mahan and Sangha at the end of the year on NXT. And with that being said, I know I'm going over the time. You guys have a blessed week. Stay UC, my friends, and peace.
All right, DJ, let's get to it, okay? I'm glad you had a sponsor of your voicemail, and that is the Football Function, and I agree. I have to give them a shout-out. I've listened to them a few times, too. They do great work. If you're interested in football and you, like I said, you have a fantasy league like I do, maybe you're struggling, maybe you're thinking about putting somebody in or taking a wide receiver out of quarterback, check them out, okay? They really provide great insight. Football Function. It's hosted by our own Michael Ritter. Check it out. I mean, I'm sure he'd love to be able to transfer some of our listeners over there. And so give him some love. Follow the Football Function podcast and celebrate them on their 200th episode. That's quite an accomplishment. I mean, 200 episodes tells you that you are in the game. You know, you're not just here for, 50 bucks, 50 episodes, and it didn't work out. I don't like it. I didn't make a whole bunch of money. I'm out, right? Like, 200 episodes tells me that they are in this for the long haul, and, I'm absolutely here to support them and check out Football Function with Michael Ritter. Okay. You talked a lot about AEW, and, you know, I've been keeping up with them as best I can, especially the MJF stuff. Anything MJF does, I'm interested in. He's really what I follow, along with Jade Cargill and you know, some other stuff with Paige, I know she's not Paige anymore, but MJF is a gosh dang brilliant. I love everything he does, mostly. Him turning on Regal was just an MJF move. Attacking him from behind, you know, a 60-some-year-old man, just brilliant. I love it. I'm counting down the days until 2024. What, about a year? So until he, hopefully WWE just decides to put as many zeros as he wants, and we're off to the races of MJF and WWE. Jade Cargill. I mean, you talk about a physical specimen. Imagine Jade Cargill versus Bianca Belair, if that would ever happen. Yeah, obviously it can't happen right now, but if they were ever in the same promotion, imagine that match. At least on paper, the visual of it would be cool. In execution, who knows? But wow. I had an image of that, but Jade Cargill right now is obviously the standout. Her and Britt Baker, I do follow some, you know, enough to know what they're doing, but certainly it's absolutely, Jade Cargill is a specimen, and there's no other way to put it. She is running things over there. She's what are the girls called? She's a boss, or you know, the girl boss, or a queen, or whatever. I don't know. I think that's what the girls say. Well, DJ, thank you so much for your voicemail. And I actually think we only have one more voicemail tonight, guys. I told you, very light on the voicemails. But I, as expected, as with WWE programming, interest in pro wrestling does go down a bit as we get through December. But feel free to call in, guys. That by the way, is 518-952-0247. That's 518-952-0247. So, the only reason DJ was able to go over that is because he sends his voicemail directly from his phone to my email. Otherwise, if you call that number, it does cut you off at 3 minutes. So, and I do like 3 minutes or less typically because it's a nice pacing for the show. But, all right, let's get to the final voicemail and see who it is.
Hey, man, it's Justin from Maryland. I want to get my thoughts on a couple of topics. After Raw that happened in my hometown of D.C., just had a couple of things I want to discuss. So first, Seth Rollins, I missed the mailbag after he lost the U.S. title, so I want to get my thoughts on that real quick. I was definitely disappointed and shocked that he lost because he just won the title. I get that they wanted to put the title on Theory, but I feel like that they could have pushed it, like a little longer because he just won the title. And Seth's a pretty huge name, so I was disappointed about that. So I'm just interested to see where they're going to go with him because it's possible that they could go with him and Roman, but we have Cody Rhodes possibly coming back. So I feel like the Royal Rumble is definitely going to be interesting, and it's going to tell us basically where they're going for WrestleMania. Because I heard that they were going to maybe have The Rock win the Royal Rumble, but that does not even make sense to me. I feel like he could easily just set up the match by just confronting Roman, but then you have one title with two belts. So it's kind of confusing, but I was definitely sad that Seth Rollins lost. And I know he's not going to regain the title back against Theory. He'll probably beat Lashley by, like, DQ or something, but I don't think he'll get the title back. So next is Riddle. I was glad to see that he was hopefully written off TV because they have no direction for him right now. I thought that they would maybe have Elias turn on him after the loss, and then he'll feud with them. But it seems like that they're not going to go that road. So I don't know what he's going to do. Maybe he'll be out of action for like a couple of weeks, come back, and then, I don't know, get ready for the Rumble, because it's not really anything that he can really do right now. And I'm just tired of seeing him with the Bloodline, trying to like get into this storyline. Finally, Roman. I love everything about the Bloodline. It looks like we're going to get KO and Roman at Royal Rumble, and that's fine. I actually wanted to see like some type of three-way or four-way Roman, Drew, and Sheamus, or Roman, Sheamus, and KO, something like that. But they're just going to further the storyline and then eventually have KO and Sami reunite against the Usos, and that's fine. I kind of just want something new. I felt like that it was kind of like obvious that KO was going to, take the tag team title spot last week.
Justin, another one bites the dust, a victim of the 3-minute timer that just cuts you off. Okay, I got everything you said, though. Okay, let's start with the surprise. I know you're going back a bit, but that's fine. With Seth losing so quickly with the U.S. title, it is surprising, but that tells you that they have other plans, maybe bigger plans for Seth, and that they wanted to elevate Theory to that next level, and they wanted to get Seth out of the U.S. title picture. Even though, yeah, he didn't have a long run. And how many years has it been since he's held a singles belt? He gets it and then loses it really quickly. It was a bit surprising, which tells you that they had to change course quickly because they have something else in mind for Seth. Hopefully bigger. That's what that tells me. But I agree. It felt like it should have been longer. And that was the strongest case to be made of Seth not losing the belt at Survivor Series. But he did. And, it's not the worst thing in the world. Theory right now is on a run himself. Okay. Yeah, The Rock winning the Rumble. I covered this at length earlier in the show, but I can just sum it up in a phrase. It's an extra step that just doesn't need to happen. Exactly. It's a step that doesn't need to happen, and it takes away from someone else with that spotlight where The Rock could just walk up and just challenge Roman instantly. Instead of having a younger talent have that moment winning the Rumble. The Rock doesn't need to win the Rumble. Exactly. And yet, I think we can all just say, bye-bye, Riddle. We need time away. It's not you, it's me. I just need time. It's like when you break up with somebody, or if you've had someone break up with you, this feels more like an After Dark show that I need to start doing again. It's just, I have so many extra shows that I've wanted to do. I actually had a WWE After show at one point. I still have it out there. It's just, trying to find the time is very difficult, but this is a topic at some point, like breakups. How about that for a topic for basically X-rated discussion that I'd have about breakups. But it feels kind of like that where, it's not you, it's me. I just need time to figure myself out. You ever heard that excuse? I need to figure myself out. Which is just a BS way of saying, you just make me feel nothing again, or you don't make me feel anything. I'm going to try to put it on me so you don't feel bad and minimize the pain. But in reality, you know that I'm lying and it makes it worse. There's so many levels to that excuse. I've been told that a couple of times. So anyway, again, a topic for the After Dark show. But I hear you, Justin. I didn't mean to get all oddly, weirdly personal. My point is, yeah, the fans just need time away from Riddle. We all need time away from Riddle. It's just he felt lost, lonely, kind of like a sad puppy trying to find direction and, sticking his nose in places that doesn't belong. So I think he'll come back, as I said, at the Rumble, just before the Rumble, to challenge the Usos for those tag team titles. Maybe they'll go after Solo Sikoa as well, but he'll have a partner of Randy Orton with him to back him up. Randy Orton, I think, will return at the Rumble or shortly before to challenge the Usos. And then I still don't think they'll be successful. But hey, that's just my theory. I could be totally wrong. But thank you, Justin. Thank you so much. Good to hear from you. You're the closer of the show. And so again, light on voicemails tonight, guys. No problem there, though. We will be back next week. The show still ran an hour because you guys have so much to say in your emails. But I'll be back on Sunday with your week in review. I'll try to find a co-host. I can't promise anything. It's just life, my friends. I mean, it's tough. It's tough, right? Like, I work this, I do this, like, you know, it takes up 20 hours of my week. I've got a real job, you know, family, all that. So it's just, it's difficult. That's all. It's just, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad for me. It's just, it's difficult to try to do a two and a half hour show with a co-host for a week in review. And I used to do it, but yeah, we'll see. Maybe I can find some way to integrate another co-host into this and get another voice other than mine. All right. Thanks so much for joining me, everybody. As always, take care. I'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEpodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWEpodcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.